Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
2023, you guys, and I'm winging it. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. That's the website, The Dork Forest, if you like a determiner. Dorkforest.com also works. JackieCation.com has all of my stand-up information. Like, it has videos, it has pictures, it has links to this podcast and to my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin. It has a merch store that has Dork Forest t-shirts. It has all of my stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs. So, that's what you know about websites. There's an opportunity, because we're in the new year here, that you can donate to the Dork Forest. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything really set up, though I understand you can set up on PayPal a monthly if you wanted to. You could donate and be of to support the show. This is the 17th season, the 17th year I've been putting this stuff out. It's free, but if you have money and would like to throw me some money, boy, howdy. There's a PayPal. There is at my email address, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me and tell me how much you're enjoying the show. You can also do Venmo if you'd like, which is just Jackie Cation, no hyphen, all one word, picture of this person, me. And then I think that's it. I think I have Zelle, but it's too complicated. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady, still in, fixing the audio all these years later. Give it up to Patrick Brady. That's what a lot of your donations support, by the way, because I like to share the wealth. And then Vilmos, he does the websites. And Mike Rickberg wrote and sang that song. Composed and sang that song with his wife now, Sarah. And at the end, he sings the Mexican Hat Dance, which is always fun. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to it. There's a band camp that has a bunch. It has like a stand-up storytelling album that was never released. It's there's also a bunch of live episodes that many of them are free. There were 200 episodes that were not pre-recorded, and I sort of culled through those, and I pulled like 17 of the best ones. There's an album collection of that, 17 hours of Dork Forest. If you run through all of the episodes, go to bandcamp.com, Dork Forest, or Google those words, and you'll find it. Anyway, there's probably more. I can't remember any of it, but you're doing great. Feel free to enjoy the show. Oh my gosh, I'm in my garage again, and Andy has replaced my X-Men poster with a painting that my father painted in the 90s. Look what he did. It's the Crick. Anyway, it wasn't a creek. It's just a crick. Today, here on the Dork Forest, I met in Traverse City, T-Barb. I am T-Barb on the Instagram. And T is in Tom, but not. And then Barb is in Barb, yes. And the brand is only in Detroit, because you're a Detroit comic. Very funny. Happy to have met you in Traverse City. And now we're going to dork out about documentaries. Welcome to the show.
Yay! Thank you for having me. And I love that introduction.
It's a good one.
I was so happy to meet you. Listen, remind me to never sit next to you sometimes, because we were like vibing out so much that
we
I
didn't
was
get
laughing.
To, yeah, we didn't get to see the stand-up as much as I wanted to see. But because, you know, the only time I see stand-up, I don't know if you're watching other people's specials, but I am sometimes racked with jealousy. And other times I see so much great stand-up, I don't actually need to see more stand-up. I'm good. I enjoy stand-up, but I don't need to. I watched Otsko's thing on HBO Max the other night, but I didn't. I watched 3/4 of it. And then I weeded off. I just walked into the ocean. I couldn't do it. It was actually really good. She's very funny. I love watching her live, but I don't. There's some reason just watching specials of stand up. It's not my jam. But other people, I'm psyched they have them, because it means.
Did you watch Chris Rock's live? I didn't watch. I haven't watched any in quite some time. So I'm sorry. I'm snitching on myself. I think I can't even recall the last like newer one that I've watched, but I do need to take a little more time to do that.
And all over TikTok and Instagram Reels, I'm seeing people's clips right and left. And I'm like, look how funny he is. She's great. Anyway,
I need to see it
like all. Your clips, because your clips, and I guess when you're seeing clips of these people or your friends, it's kind of like, I've seen some of this. And then when you're performing it, a lot of times they perform it before the special. Well, we know that. So we've heard, if you know that person, you may have heard some of that. I mean, I definitely let them play to make sure they get them a couple of dollars, but sometimes
right.
I don't have to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And right, I'm working on my own thing, and it's all well and good. It's just, but talk to me. Television, we all have time to watch some television. So you have favorite documentaries. Pick one. You sent me a very long list. So just pick one you want to tell me about. Because get this, I've seen none of them.
Oh, well, that's okay. I like one called the Sex, Bets, and Booze That Made America.
Oh, what?
So
what,
that's a newer platform? One that I watched. It's okay. On History Channel.
Okay.
And
do you
then,
have regular cable? Do you have regular cable?
No, I have Hulu.
Oh, it's on the Hulu. Okay.
I have Verizon, and the Hulu comes with the Verizon. So it's a 2-for-1.
That's it.
And then since everybody got kicked off of Netflix, like for sharing, I no longer have Netflix. So it's obvious that I was sharing. I was the sherry, and I lost my privileges.
Wait, I did not know that they had canceled that because my nephew has not sent anything about it, for he is the sherry. Oh.
Well, they're starting in different markets.
Okay.
So I think they hit us, or maybe they Apple picked us, or maybe they just kicked me off. Either way, I don't have it anymore.
You don't have Netflix anymore. Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but Booze, Bets, and Sex That Made America?
The Sex, Bets, and Booze That Made America. I believe I'm saying that correct. It's on the History Channel, and it's like, it really talks about the first brands of the United States. So some of the first nationwide brands were Jack Daniels, who had a guy helping him, a black guy named Nearest Green. And that's where you get the Uncle Nearest whiskey from now. And they talk about how they pioneered filtration with charcoal, how they patented the square bottle, and like the ups and downs that it took them to become a national brand. Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch.
Okay, which makes Budweiser.
Brand of beer, yes. Which make Budweiser. Anheuser had a company. It wasn't doing well. Adolphus Busch was his son-in-law, and he took it over. And he made him take it over. And he was the first one to start refrigerated cars. That was for beer. And pasteurization was also brought here for beer. So it wasn't about your food. It just later went to your food, but it was initially for beer. They're the first one to bottle a package and send it across country. Before then, you would buy your beer from a local establishment because beer spoils quickly. So I learned a lot about all that.
Right. That's and tell me about T-Barb. Is you're interested in branding a great deal, which is why I think you might have been sucked into the branding documentary. So, what was the sex? Who branded sex?
Well, the sex talked about condoms. So during the early 1900s, condoms were illegal because of the temperance movement. Right. So the temperance movement made it where they didn't want anybody to have sex, talk about sex. So guess what people were using for condoms? Guess, Jackie.
Sheepskin intestines, which is
you
how the
close.
Condom.
Pig intestines or sausage casings. So, which didn't have the best smell.
No. Oh, gross. They could be treated because here's the thing. They used to be called, I happen to know about the history of condoms. I don't, I think I got it from a romance novel, Grain of Salt, everyone. Take it with a grain of salt. It was not come from a documentary.
Okay.
But they were called French letters and they were invented first in France in the 1700s. And the reason I looked them up is because my sister has always said, our parents, we have 6 kids, that she's like, you know, condoms were invented in the 1700s. I don't understand why they didn't use condoms. And then everyone says to my sister Darla, well, then you wouldn't have been born. And then my sister Darla always says, no, I would have been born, but I would have been born a Rockefeller like I was supposed to have been born.
And, funny.
Yes. So But they were French, and they were made out of intestines initially of different animals, pigs and all these things. And then when plastics were invented in the 40s, they started making plastic condoms. So in the early 1900s, they would have been made out of intestines, but people were just sort of jerry-rigging their own.
Yeah, well, the guy who invented the actual plastic condom, he started off selling those. He was arrested several times but determined. So what happened was the plastics for tires were starting to be made. Mm-hmm. He ordered a sample of that and then bought another type of factory and had a secret basement room where they started to manufacture those types of condoms. So that was the sex.
That was the sex part of it.
Yes, with him.
Okay. And gambling?
The gambling, actually, interesting fact, a Black lady by the name of Stephanie St. Clair is the reason people play the lotto today. She was a Harlem policy queen who fought with the mob in New York. And what she was doing was the numbers game, which was for poor people. You know, they would pay for a penny and they had an odd of 600 to one to win or 1,000 to one, whatever it was. And so what happened was Bugsy Siegel and some of the gangsters wanted to take it over. And it was a big war, you know, in Harlem. She was eventually arrested, but that's where the state lottery models is 3-digit, 4-digit. She started the state lottery. So Stephanie St. Clair.
Stephanie St. Clair had a great numbers racket running. Mm-hmm. And the mob wanted to come in and take it and then take all that money from the pennies from all the poor people who lived or working class, right? It was all because that's who does the lottery now. I was just in Minnesota and they don't have scratch tickets. They have pull tabs, and they are scratch tickets, except for that you pull a piece of cardboard away from the images instead of scratching the weird stuff off of
they're getting us ready to get rid of change.
Right. And when I lived in Minnesota, you would go to a lady. It was always some weird old Lutheran white lady because it's Minnesota. And you'd give her $5 and she'd be like, what ones? Do you want me to blow on them for luck? And now they all come out of a machine. And so you don't get like old Lutheran lady luck.
Listen, the other bets part was about Las Vegas. So that's how the mob stole Las Vegas. So the editor of the Hollywood Reporter was a big gambler. He was addicted to gambling. Only place you really could gamble was Reno, but it was back alley, dusty, dirty. Okay. At the table one day with another mobster, and it'll come to me in a minute because it's one of the popular ones. He's telling his vision of a luxurious place.
Meyer Lansky?
Not Meyer Lansky.
Okay.
He was in the New York.
Another mob guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the mob guy that founded Vegas. People are yelling at their telephones.
Well, what he did was he found out that the guy had lost too many bets. And in the middle of building in Las Vegas, the Flamingo was the first casino ever because he wanted golf carts. And he was the one who came up with the psychology of making it where the gambler does not leave. This is how addicted he was. Right. So he's telling this to a guy at the table.
Right.
The mobster finds out he's in trouble. They send in a blind investor to offer him $1 million. At that time, that's, you know, that shit, $100 million.
Right.
So, boom. Next thing you know, he finds they make him give up 51%.
And
boot him out.
Yeah.
That's how the mob runs Las Vegas. Yeah.
Okay, I once read a book called Havana Nocturne, which was about Meyer Lansky trying. He was one of the founders of Vegas too, and he wanted to create a Vegas-like situation in Havana, Cuba. But the year and a half that he chose was the year that Fidel Castro came to power, and so he lost all of his money. But because he's a dirtbag and a mobster, he made it back relatively quickly and hid it very quickly from the tax people, but pretended to die poor and alone, a single tear. I don't care. Anyway, my father, big gambler.
I don't care.
I don't care. Because my dad, a big gambler, not terrible at it, not good at it, not bad at it. We lived indoors, but I always wanted a bike. So not great at it, not terrible at it. So
just at it.
Just at it. Oh my God, he's still at it. Anybody wants to buy a painting from him, he'll be using it over at the Potawatomi in Milwaukee. So that one, are most documentaries that are on TV, are they, they're not Ken Burns length, right? They're not 19 hours. They're usually right?
They usually do series. So that one was a three-part series, and each one kind of focused on a different area. You know, of course, they had like the Budweiser and the whiskey, because some of these things were going on consecutively. And then the cigarettes were also on it. So they talk about American tobacco. Yeah. And how, I mean, it was just crazy how the cigarette, the burn sack machine, which was entered into an American innovation contest. And what they did was he won, but they didn't want to pay him. So they end up saying he lost, right? So the guy who's over cigarettes, different companies, he decides to buy that. And because cigarette used to be a hand rolling thing. That's how all cigarettes became the same. And then with filters, it talks about how they knew filters were no good. Actually, the filters could be worse than the tobacco itself. But it was a gimmick to make people think that the cigarette was more healthier. They put the menthol in it because people start getting cough, and they called it smoker's cough, and mm-hmm. the menthol masked that, and how the companies knew. Listen to this. Now, this is probably the best interesting fact for them. We can move on. But was that in order to, so there were five top cigarette companies, right? Duke's moves up to five, but decides he wants to be one. Remember, he has a cigarette machine. He drops his cigarettes half price to starve everyone out. After a year, he brings them in and does not mind going for broke. After seeing who cracks first, he brings them all in, gives them a proposition to merge all as one with him being the top, or he's going to drop the price of his cigarettes another 15% tomorrow.
Oh my God, that is literal.
That was the first monopoly ever formed in American history, which was
Philip Morris? Tobacco. What did it end up being?
American Tobacco at that time.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I wonder who bought that out from that guy. I hope he died of cancer. Does that mean? Anyway.
Well, he didn't even like cigarettes. He only liked cigars.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Yeah, and the filters, of course, have plastic in them. And the menthol, my brother Scott, the last bastion of guys who smoke menthol cigarettes.
No, you should come to Detroit. He is definitely not. He has some Newport brothers here.
Fine. Get in. Get in
the
on Scott
Detroit. Cation. He has some Newport brothers.
Exactly. Here, so right, Newports. That's what he smokes.
He would be right at home with all the gift bags he could have.
Right. Oh my gosh. But I think he also does the gum and the patches in an effort to get his shit together. And he cannot. He cannot quit. And
on nicotine. Stop it.
Yeah. Scott, I don't know if you listened to the show. He didn't even call me. I was just in Minneapolis. I didn't call him either, but I initiated contact the last time we talked. So I have four brothers. I'm not saying I have extra brothers, that I don't have to talk to all of them, but I have extra brothers. I don't have to talk to all of them. Okay. So that one is on Hulu, and it's called, what's it called? The Booze?
The Sex, Bets, and Booze. Yeah.
That's right. That Made America.
Yeah. That Made America. Yeah. And I think they have different ones that made America. So.
Okay. There was a series that I saw. I think it's on, sadly, Netflix. But it's Inventions of the 1900s. And it goes 10 years at a time. And I've only seen up to 1950. But it's kind of amazing because they kind of explain how wireless works and how radio works. And how and a bunch of other, like, the weird, I also watched a weird Automat documentary, which was about the Automat, which was only two stores in New York, and now everybody thinks that the 40s were full of places where you could buy a triangle sandwich inside a little plastic door.
I mean, you know, it only takes one thing for people to just absorb it as, you know,
as a fact. And they're like, I bet you that was everywhere. No, it actually just the two stores in New York City. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Okay, so pick another one. What's another good one? I like that.
Ancient Apocalypse, since you want to throw the Netflix out there. I watched this before I got kicked off. Ancient Apocalypse. So this one, an archaeologist, it's a 6-part series again. And what the theory is that there was intelligent civilization before the Ice Age. And that what happened was that we had a cataclysmic type of explosion or comet fire that started Earth all over. And it's based on like all of these archaeological finds that he's found around the world, including here. So if you notice, each civilization kind of worships a snake or something with snake. He's seen that. He feels that was indicative of fire raining from the sky and the way it would have looked. Because at that time, we really were astrological people where everybody looked at the stars. Now we have so many lights and modern day archaeologists don't want to acknowledge astronomy. And I don't mean just Cancer, even though I believe that too. Let me keep it real. I'm an Aries. But I'm talking about when it comes
to... You guys, T-Barb's an Aries. Okay.
Yeah, so... I'm Aries. Thank you. Aries season.
What was your chi- okay? No, because my I'm Cancer, but I was born in the year of the snake, I believe. So
I think it might have been a dog or something.
Right. Well, because you get the Chinese. Sometimes you'll get the Chinese placemat, and the Chinese placemat will tell you the good things about yourself and the bad things about yourself from the year that you're born. I swear to God, look up your Chinese year and then look what they have to say about you, because it's always like you're generous and you're really smart, but you're also short tempered and nobody, you don't want to give people a ride or whatever.
And, and selfish and a bastard.
And next. Some sort of bastard next.
Yeah, yeah.
And that person, they end up, they're short and they have to be able to reach tall things. Okay, so Ancient Apocalypse. Wait, is it based on the fact that everybody has that, all religions have that flood and fire?
Well, what he goes by is different layers they found. So it's amazing how many underground type of layers that they are. And he wants to know, what were these people going underground for? What was going on the surface that made them almost like bunkers here? But some of them very sophisticated. They found some 40 floors deep, 26 floors deep, with things like kitchen utensils. You see, it's like chimneys they have for sophisticated breathing systems. He also
bomb shelters.
Yeah. So, but he feels like, you know, and there are things that they won't let him investigate, like a lot of different, like all over Ohio, there are different, they're kind of covered with forest, but like snake feel like different features and things and statues. They're like masses, but they're like, if you look like almost like crop circles, but like snakes and different things throughout the world that he travels to show you where he thinks that these things happen. And you can read their language and how he feels they're not dating certain artifacts as far back as they should. So he's found some artifacts that he feels are 50 and 60,000 years old.
But that where people were involved?
We want to feel like we were the most advanced civilization. What he's saying is, there was a civilization that was just as advanced as us, but they were wiped out based on some of the things that we're doing now, which means history.
And they were snake people.
No, they interpreted comets as snakes.
Okay. Oh, they interpreted
like fire raining from the sky. Yeah, the way it
snakes.
Would look. Yeah,
For a second there, T-Barb, I was like, wait a minute, she's into the lizard people. What's happening?
And you got.
I'm not judging. My friend Karen Rontowski will go with a Bigfoot thing and will swear by it. And I'm like, I don't even know how to talk to you about it, but good luck. But she's done the door for us many times.
Of comments, because what it is like, even where the Grand Canyon is, there are certain masses and large masses of land where they feel like a comet had to hit it based on the way that it's carved out from the mountains. But he's just basically saying that he believes that something cataclysmic may happen if we continue to do what we're doing on the Earth, based on what happened to these other civilizations, like the Mayans and different things. They all, that happened because of the disrespect for the planet and all of the things that we were doing to change climates, etc. So.
Right. There's been several comics who have done jokes about how the world is, everyone's like, we're killing the earth, we're killing the earth. And you're like, you're not going to kill the earth. The earth will kill us and then shake it off like a dog and keep moving.
With us with it. We'll be the fleas.
We'll be the fleas, and they'll just, and the earth will continue, and the earth will be something else with other kinds of animals on it that aren't us.
Because I'm, no, they'll, you know, be cyborgs.
Or, well, they can't be cyborgs. No one to build them. Except for the AIs, I guess. The AIs can build the cyborgs. And so talk to me. Let's see. Yeah, do another one. Unless you got more about the weird snake.
No, I'm telling you, I think I did a very poor job
of explaining how great.
Yes, I think I missed the mark on that one, but hey.
But try it yourselves. Maybe this is something you would enjoy. It's called Ancient Apocalypse, and it's on Netflix.
It's really good. It is. I swear it's really good.
Oh, it was great.
The next one, yes. I'm telling you, it's not wacko. He's like official. He's like, okay. He's really good. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Noted.
It made it to Netflix.
A scientist. Okay. Right, it made it to Netflix. Okay.
Right. The next one, 1619 Project, which is on Hulu.
Right. Okay.
It is a Pulitzer Prize winner. Mm-hmm. Young lady, she is from Iowa, Waterloo, Iowa, and Black lady, and she's talking about the history of America and pretty much how everything historical has been written to pretty much just eliminate African Americans and Black people's role in creating freedom and role in creating America, which leads to systemic racism or prejudice and also PTSD from slavery. So she gives an example of like gynecology. And this is a series as well. I mean, it's a must watch, I think, for all cultures and especially for white people who just feel like, oh, I don't understand, because without us getting the history, like Common Core and different things, we tend to repeat that. So when people don't know what happened on Wall Street, they really think things are a fallacy or that people are complaining when this has really been, this is why police are shooting people, because they don't know the history. And if we confront the harsh truths, then we'll probably be better for it. So like with gynecology.
So you're talking about like, this is contributions of non-white male or women, non-white women.
Slavery.
From slavery, just working Black people who were inventors and were intellectuals and were artists and who were geniuses, and their ideas were essentially co-opted by the system and by white people and just patented and then they were written out.
Yes and no. So for instance, like gynecology, you have a doctor that's credited as the father of gynecology. But what he did was he used 2,500 African slaves, slicing them alive, going inside their bodies, taking their ovaries in order to learn how to give us a pap smear. So for every pap smear that you have, there are 2,500 women that were a lot of times cut alive. And what those physicians did at that time was made themselves feel that Black people didn't feel pain in order to stomach what they were doing, which happens today in the medical world. Black women do not get the treatment that white women get. We don't get the pain pills. We're told there's nothing wrong with us. And this is systemic racism that's been ingrained in us from that time. So she gets a little deeper into it, and it kind of makes you think like, damn, you know, 2,500 women were sliced open for me to get a pap smear to know if I have cancer.
And this is 400 years before Mengele was doing it to the Jews in Auschwitz. So it's the same thing. It's the same story. Is like other people don't feel the same things you feel. You have pain. They can't possibly, they don't look right. They don't look like they have the same kind of, and same with aspirations and all this, but literally killed. These women were just operated on. And
a lot of them were killed.
Yeah.
Just in the middle, or even it discussed race. At one point in time in the world, you were whatever your father was. So if you think about it, they say white people, but white people really covers a lot. You have Irish, you know what I mean? You have British, you have English, right? But I know here in this country, we just kind of pave it that way. So back in the day, if a British and an English person got together and the daddy was English, then the kids were English. Well, they changed that with slavery because the slave owners was raping the women so much and the kids were coming out that if they would have been what the daddy was, then they would have been free and they couldn't allow their property to be free. So they then enslaved their own children by saying they were Black. So it just talks about all of those things.
Oh, wow. And is that like 6 episodes as well?
It's 6 episodes. It is 6 episodes, but it is a good one.
Well, right, because of the education, just to get the information out about, here's too much information for you. My racism is an onion that every, 6 months to 3 years, I'll find a new fucking layer. And I'm like, oh, you had this preconceived notion about other people. And, I saw Black Panther. I know that Namor came from the Mayans and that there was... Anyway, so I digress to lighten the mood. But it's true.
Oh, no, just something to watch. I think that was because I was going to say that. If you're looking for something like just educational, if you're looking for something like, okay, I want to learn some historical and maybe that might singe me. But what I'm saying is I think it's, even if you just somebody watches 15 minutes or their kids do, just to get an understanding, especially if you, because it is really hard to understand certain things when you don't experience it. That's why diversity is important.
Yes, because then you have access to all the different kinds of humans and you realize that everybody just wants a cup of coffee and for everyone to just kind of get out of the way. If you could just
everybody
move.
Sits on the toilet and boo-boos. I mean, if you think about it like that, or not on the toilet, because some people, anyway, I was going to say another, but I'm back.
whatever example you guys want to do, just think about it. And we all want to ride shotgun. It's fine.
I like Traffic too. And that's the next one too. You ever seen Traffic?
No. Wait, it's a documentary about traffic?
Traffic is okay. So docuseries, which I really been on docuseries. I don't know. Maybe I like the continuous watching. But she does. She goes everywhere, and she is a real white woman for real. Nosy. Okay. Why can't we do this? How many guns in the house? So she did one on ghost guns, which is that's kind of scary if you're not ready to be scared, because that they can mail certain pieces of guns and it's not considered a gun and they put it together at home.
Oh, right.
And it's untraceable
kit.
With no serial numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know that the United States of America is the only place with more guns than people? 440 million guns, 330 million people.
Brian Regan does a joke about that. And Brian Regan is the nicest guy in the world. And his audience is usually leans super conservative. And so he talks about, the first time I heard him do it, it was in Florida. And he was talking about how, that there's supposedly there are 4 guns for every person in the United States, which makes me think that someone has a lot of guns because I don't have any guns. And that was the first time he did it. And the audience shut down on him. Yeah. I got no guns. I did a gun episode of the North.
I'm from Detroit. I have a couple guns.
Not enough guns.
But I have a couple guns.
Robert Jenkins. You know Robert Jenkins?
Yeah, I know Robert the Warrior.
He's Detroit comic. Yeah, he did an episode
He's from Land. I mean,
That's right. I think of him as a Detroit comic, but he's a Michigan comic.
That's an hour and a half. Don't let nobody from Detroit say that back to you. Because Detroit people are very serious. I do only in Detroit, trust me. If you say that the city across the street is Detroit, they will argue down. So don't go with Lansing. I love Lansing. Shout out to Lansing.
Shout out to Lansing. And shout out to Robert Jenkins, who is great. He's a great comic, and he's adorable. And when I met him, he told me almost, we did a very weird gig in Indiana together with the dumbest club in the whole wide world. And he offered to walk me back to my hotel room. He said, I have a conceal and carry permit. So you'll want me to walk. And I said, that actually doesn't help, Robert. I don't know you very well. And but he came on the Dork Forest during lockdown and showed me his gun collection. He did gun safety as his dorkdom. And there was nothing creepier than a grown-up man in his basement with guns on Zoom. It's a great episode of the Dork Forest.
And that's a lawyer.
and who's a lawyer, knows entirely how to do this legally, correctly, and also not take any shit. Robert Jenkins does not have time for your nonsense, and good for him. So, yeah. So, I did know that that. So, is it trafficking in like booze, sex, and bets? Kind of
everything. No, it's like modern day. So that's more historical, like how we were founded as a nation on certain things. This is like what's happening now. Like they have the organ thing. So there's a lot of people overseas that are selling their kidneys and things like that for $8,000, $10,000. A lot of third world countries where people are selling organs. It's really good. It talks about love scams. So that was a good one about the romance scams. Getting the one lady had got out of 2.4 million, 50,000. I mean, these yamps is lonely.
Right.
I'm sorry. Spending the money. So, and then one talks about regular scamming. She has one about the cocaine queens where she goes over to Colombia and finds the women. So she does a lot, and I really enjoy it.
Do you? I can't tell.
I'm so excited.
That is exciting, but I like the idea that because you could do trafficking, all of those things. It's not just drugs and women, and children.
She has that too, but she does. She had one about the plastic surgery boom, how they're doing these strip mall plastic surgeries. Yeah. So she goes to one in Miami where like 14 women over the course of 3 years have actually died and, you know, talked to different employees who were like, so they were talking about the BBLs and like, she sat outside the clinic. It was a line outside the door. You would have thought that Jackie was in town on a comedy tour, but they were in line to get a BBL. They were in line to get
A
BBL is a Brazilian butt lift, which is where you see girls with skinny legs and a big booty. And so that booty is big. And so they suck the fat out of the thighs and the mid waist and put it in the booty. But they're doing like out the door.
Too many a day.
Mall.
Okay.
Yes. So she was talking about that and you know how people are in the hotel room getting injections. To make their, especially a lot of people who are transgender and trying to cross over, but don't have money. And so she goes into it from several different standpoints, the video girl to someone who just wants to have that look, but doesn't have the money or is ashamed. Like a couple of them, you know, the doctor looks down on them, but this is what they really want. So it was interesting as hell. One lady made $40,000 in a day pumping some booties up. I was like, where do I sign up? Like,
And what kind of doctors are these? Is it just like a normal
doctor,
kind of...
like a girl that's just doing it?
Oh, it's just
well,
the
strip mall is doctors, but the booty pumping is people.
Oh, you just go to the mall. Hopefully it's not a kiosk.
Strip mall, not even in that. Straight up,
fancy...
I'm talking about Subway down the street, and then here goes.
Right, there's an Anchor, yum donuts.
Not even Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, not Subway. Even a chain, a Subway. Yeah, poor Subway. Yeah. I hate Subway. I once got sick on Subway. Can't eat Subway. I know that. Well, just and that's the thing I heard about plastic surgery because I am not pointy, right? I have thought about it. I'm not above thinking about, I was like, can you just fix this? Why do I have to do something? Why don't you just suck it all out of the places I don't want it to be? And then put me back together with the same rack. I like this rack and I don't mind. I don't mind just sort of get rid of the middle bits. And I don't know, I've got a little bit of this going on. And it turns out if once they do it and then they tighten all your skin up, when you eat the same, it gets the fat comes back in weird pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen that documentary?
I've seen it a lot. Well, you know, I saw that on Instagram. I was like, no, that was right.
They're like, don't do this.
People don't understand. I think that everybody's looking for a quick fix. even when it comes to dieting or taking this or taking that. So I don't think people understand that you can diet, but you have to keep up. You can get the surgery, but you have to keep up. It's not like you can't keep eating the Cardi B offset meal at McDonald's and then go over to Buddy's Pizza and then go to El Pollo Loco. I mean, you can't do that just because you have this, because it'll still come back. And now it's going to come back weirder.
It's going to look totally weird because of the stitches, like the way they had to sew you up. It's going to come out.
You say Frankenstein.
Uneven.
Yeah. You look like a fat real, Frankenstein.
Yeah. All kinds of weird. The real monster. And wait a minute. Let's take a quick break here and see if there's an ad. Do you guys think there'll be an ad? Let's find out. We're back. Was there an ad? Did you like it? Hi, I'm talking with T-Barb, you guys. It's I am T-Barb, I-A-M-T-B-A-R-B on the Instagram. Only in Detroit is the brand. Those videos are hilarious on Instagram. And
thank you.
I don't know where you're culling all this stuff from, like local news, I guess.
Sometimes I see it. Sometimes people send it to me.
Oh, that's neat.
And then sometimes it's like other people posting, but the news gets it from me.
there we go. So I did not mean to cast aspersions upon your crazy video task, because you're finding the craziest videos where you're like, what is happening? And so, yeah, that's, I can't even remember. Did you do was it the one with the little kid dancing? It was a baby dancing? No, not a baby. It was not a baby. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You guys, I am T-Barb. And check it out yourself. And then email me, Jackie at JackieCation, and tell me to watch more of it. Okay. Now, do you want to pick another one? I love a documentary myself.
I love a documentary. I'm trying to think about one that is about someone. I liked actually the that Michael Jordan, The Last Dance.
The Last Dance, was it about?
Yeah, and I'm not a big basketball, but it was kind of about the Chicago Bulls and just how determined Michael Jordan was. Sorry, shout out to Michael. I mean, rest in peace, Michael Jackson the King. I'm sorry. But Michael Jordan,
and not Michael
how determined he was.
Not Michael B. Jordan.
No, not Michael
not
B.
Killmonger.
Jordan.
No.
Not
Killmonger.
Creed. Not Creed. Not the sexiest man alive that just cussed somebody out on the red carpet.
Man.
But that's another story.
I didn't see that, and I'm disappointed to hear it. If it was rude, but if he was just I don't know what happened, but
Michael
really
B. Jordan,
it.
Call me.
Yes.
just call me.
Sure. Call me. I'll take a call from Michael. He might be on the
short list.
I'm pretty
sure he's listening.
Yeah. He might be on the short list of men that I would be allowed to have sex with if they asked.
I don't know. He might not like, they might be like,
I don't think he's going to, I think he's safe. I think it's all going to work out.
Okay,
we're
okay,
A, never going to meet. And B, I'm 57. So no.
I mean, the Cougars are in full effect.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I'm not much.
I'm gonna call you Auntie. That's what we call them, Auntie.
I'm a perfect and I'm an excellent Auntie. Actually, I have 15 nieces and nephews, 6 great nieces and nephews. Yep.
Wow, like that's for real. That's the real deal, right
there's
there.
The jackass gene is in no danger of running out of juice, because the generations that keep breeding. This is about Michael Jackson playing basketball. Michael Jordan. I just did it. Michael Jordan playing basketball.
We don't know nothing
exactly
about this.
interesting.
I liked it. It spoke to kind of like the tenacity that he had of being the champion. You know, how strict he was about it. And of course, in today's popcorn society, I like to see somebody who actually went through a little, you know, real, you just see him and you kind of see him as this icon that played for the Chicago Bulls and have these gym shoes, but you don't really see how dedicated he was to the craft. So that was one that I like. I'm thinking of my short list. I think I sent you a couple. Oh, I love documentaries about cults. I'm a big cult. And I love documentaries about Hitler as well. So I've read Mean Call before. Oh, what a thing. But, you know, it's different things. Sometimes I just want to understand the psychology. So I just watched one recently about Waco as one of the biggest disasters. This is about the biggest disasters in American history. And Waco was one of the things they covered, and how the guy who set up the raid set it up all the way wrong. You know, they had wrong information, and how they end up losing all of those officers and agents because he had it set up for the ladder to come into the artillery room, but they were in there waiting. And as soon as they came up, they just start, and they had enough weaponry to shoot for days and days, and just how everybody ended up killing themselves that was in there, and how it wasn't meant to be like that. I think it was 3 to 4 survivors. And how, you know, survivors were saying they didn't, but some of them killed themselves. I told them to kill themselves anyway. So that was another one. The Unabomber. This is before we were desensitized to that kind of stuff.
Right.
Sandy
right.
Hook. So those were talked about, all of those things. I'm not a big downer. I'm really an upper, but I do like looking at things because I think that when we don't understand history, then we continuously, it's like we're going to keep making these mistakes over and over to the point where
I saw a t-shirt. I got a catalog from PBS 2 days ago, and there's a t-shirt that said, "Don't make me repeat myself," in quotes, and it was signed "History."
And it
is. I kind of want it. I kind of want the shirt, quite honestly. What's the S word?
Oh, the S word is about socialism. So that's about, oh my God. Listen, I'm definitely adoring when it comes to all of this stuff. Socialism, and it talks about the difference between capitalism and socialism.
And how communism?
Just socialism.
Okay.
It talks about how we were made to feel like the only thing that's right is capitalism, when that really is what's disintegrating our economy. And of course, the top, you know, 1 or 2 to 3% of people are controlling the narrative for everyone. But if they make you believe in capitalism, they'll continue to control the narrative for everyone.
I read this book that was it was an explanation of how the American dream is the big American lie. Is that you know, the reason that we tolerate all of the injustices and the lack of sharing that goes on is because we all think that we're going to be super rich one day and we don't want to share. And so, and they put it better because they were some sort of academic, but that was the gist of it. And so that sounds actually good. The S word, what was that on? Do you remember what?
That one was on the History Channel as well. And that one was just a standalone documentary. But it really was good because it just talked about how, for instance, we're kind of fighting against ourselves. So we don't fight for our own unions. And unions are what protect us, you know, the everyday worker, or how we don't, yes. And shout out to the UAW. I used to be a member of UAW 65. I used to work for the state. I had a job.
That's it. This is Delta Airlines is trying to unionize. And Delta is fighting it by giving everybody pay raises, which I'm like, good. I don't mind that either. But you should let them unionize and then it'll be fine. It won't be that big of a deal.
Amazon just went through the same thing. So the 1619, she actually has a little point about that. That's why I say it ain't all just down, where she's kind of comparing Amazon to back in slave days. You know what I mean? They're making little wages while the company. And that's one thing about capitalism where I like the S word, is that we don't understand it. It's not like these companies aren't making money. So they're making you think that they got to cut, and they make more profits. How much profit is enough?
Right.
These are the people that are helping you make the profit. But we have been, you know, psychologically made to think dumb.
Yeah.
We've been dummied down to believe anything. And it was just talks about how even in politics, most politicians don't have one-on-ones with their constituents, but they're with a company every day. They're with an organization daily that gets to feed their message, but they don't even know what we want.
Right, right. It's one of the great, this morning I went and I heard Karen Bass, who's our new mayor of Los Angeles. I heard her speak, and she had come up, she had worked in the medical industry for however many years. And then she worked her way up. Like, I think she was in like some county board or school board kind of, and now is mayor of Los Angeles, but she knew who to talk to because she had come up through all of these smaller politician kind of things. So the first day, Los Angeles has a real houseless, like unhoused homeless problem.
Listen, they got doors on the tents. Every time I come out there, I'm impressed with the level of ingenuity of these tents.
Right. And these are all people who work for a living. They're not all people who work for a living, but a lot of them have jobs and families, and the kids go to school and the parents go to work, but they can't afford a place to live. And so day one of her tenure, she's been, I think, mayor for 18 months, whatever. And is it 18 months? Maybe not even, but whatever it is, it's great. Because the first thing she did was she bypassed one of the committees. I don't even know which one, to go to another committee that was an operations committee. And she was like, I'm just going to need motels. And we just got out of a lockdown. There's empty motels all over the city. And she's moved. It's working. Like, she's moved people out of, and it's going to take a while because we have probably 25% of the homeless population in the country lives in Los Angeles.
I can't listen. I don't know why. I mean, I don't want to say I don't know why, because of lack of resources, but it is abundant. As you are riding, it is just block after block, especially downtown. Yeah. And we stayed at the Omni. It was one of those hotels right off the freeway. And right there was cool, but a couple blocks over, it was like, damn.
And it's a little, and it's scary. It's scary. I don't even live there. So it's scary for me to walk through it. And I don't even live there. Imagine living there. And so it's her number one priority. Right. And she found out today she found out when she took the job that there are 7,000 city jobs that are unfulfilled.
She's like,
there's 7,000 people who could have jobs.
Yeah.
And good jobs, city jobs with pensions. And so she has been working to try to streamline the hiring, working with the union and working with HR to try to fulfill those positions, and trying to do it from some of the people who are homeless or unhoused or whatever the correct term is, but people who need jobs, essentially, and good jobs, which would enable them to then get apartments.
Pay and take care of it. Because the average person, most people need two jobs. A lot of people need a job and a half, even if that's Uber and you go to work all day, even if that's DoorDash, you go to work all day, even if that's people take surveys or influencers who work, that's still considered two jobs. So most people in America, that's what they were saying. It's sad that most people here can't afford to just work one job and have a house and be able to pay their utilities. But the utility companies are going up even though they're making profit. So if you're profitable, why should you continuously go up, 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 and your profits are going up? It's not even like, I mean, and by a great, great, great percentage margins. And what they'll do is close things in your neighborhood that bring your neighborhood down that they didn't have to close.
Right.
You're profitable, but maybe not as profitable. So they just talk about those things. That's even like,
that's interesting.
We're so cheap over here. With the computer chips, why are they being made overseas when they can be made here? Because it's cheaper. Now we don't even have control of those things, which lead to security. So they go into those things.
Right, right. Yeah, the local production stuff is fascinating too. Yeah. Well, we digressed very deep into that awesome. See, that's the thing about documentaries. They can be about anything. And they are, quite honestly. I mean, the last week's episode was about potato chips, or 2 weeks ago. And he was like, there's a lot of great literature, a lot of great nonfiction books about potato chips, Canadian snacks.
Potato chips were invented by a black man.
What?
Andrew Crum.
There we crumb crumb.
Yes, yeah, crum.
Oh, okay. I wanted there to be a B, just because of crumbs, just because of the shake at the bottom of the potato chip bag. Are you looking it up? You making
yep,
sure?
No, yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Yep, it's his original name was George Speck, later known as George Crumb.
I have to say that all Black history that I know comes from hip hop. And it was KRS-One.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why you're here. That's why yeah. T-Barb is here to help and to point some things out, which is necessary because everybody did everything. White guys don't get to have all the credit, even though we were raised just like the rest of us to believe that you yeah. get all the credit. Just be willing. How about the Four Horsemen or the Alone series?
Oh, now the Four Horsemen. Oh, the Alone. Let's go to because the Four Horsemen is back of my conspiracy bag. I don't think everybody's ready for that. I'm back in the bag, Jackie.
Okay.
I'm talking about the Chinese dynasty that reigned for 500 years. And I don't think these people want to hear. But it is a good, if you want to hear about different dynasties and how most dynasties or like the Chinese dynasty or the Roman Empire last about 500 years. Most of them reign, so they kind of go into the American time span and things like that. So that's a good one. And okay. Alone series. Now, if you ain't never watched Alone, Alone is about being alone. It's almost a reality documentary, right? And the reason I put it in a documentary category, because some people say reality, okay. is that I have learned how to build a cabin with logs. Okay? I'm telling you, I'm ready for
you.
You
could do it. Okay.
And so what I learned is that I could get some all I could take mud and I could compound rocks. So what happens is these people
what is Alone? What channel is Alone on? What streaming service?
Alone is on Netflix. Once again, this is before I got kicked off. Remember, I'm back.
I think I found out why.
No, it's on Hulu too, just different seasons.
Okay. Oh, so, different seasons. Okay.
Yes. Alone is where they take a group of people. I think it's like 10 people. They drop them off in different areas of a remote location.
Alone? Each to themselves? Or in
yes.
twos? Okay.
In twos.
Okay.
But they, I'm wrong. That's Naked and Afraid. Alone is Alone. Naked okay. and Afraid is another one where they get to be in twos, but they naked on that one. They get dropped off in a remote location with no clothes on. They get one.
And they're dropped off with nothing except for a film crew who could hand them a sandwich.
Yeah, who can't talk to them for right 28 days.
Oh my God.
And then they gotta make clothes, make food, everything. They only extract them if it's an emergency. But Alone is they alone, but they do get clothes.
But okay. They and a but film crew who also can't talk to them.
No. They're alone, literally. Like, they have a camera that they have,
oh, that they have to set
have
up.
To take with them, yes.
Okay.
We only see what they turn on the camera to show us. They do have an emergency phone, but they are literally alone. And a lot of times they like to send them people up the camera. Shout out to them ketchup chips, because they up there in the wilderness.
Right, exactly. Not even a bag of all dressed anywhere to be found, Canadians.
Mm-mm. Nowhere. They eating raw fish with no salt. They just eating everything. Right. I mean, well, they cooking it, but and I've seen some tremendous things. I've seen some people make some rock huts. So I do know that if it go down like that,
yep,
like the ancient apocalypse, I'm gonna yep. make my hut out of rock. I'm not gonna use wood because rock is more sustainable.
I think we learned that from the Three Little Pigs. And yeah, you don't want to make twigs. And then the big bad wolf comes. So yeah, I, of course, I used to do this bit about time travel, about how we were, when if and when we learn how to do time travel, it's going to be the way we extinct ourselves. Because people are just going to line up and go, I wonder what real pirates were like. And then they're just going to be killed. I wonder, you know, and me, I've always wanted to go back in time and see old growth forests in Wisconsin and Michigan. Okay. I mean, the UP is gorgeous. Have you been to the UP?
I have been to the UP.
During the summer? Because that's times. When you want to go.
I've done Silver Lake sand dunes and the Bear sand dunes. I haven't been up. but I've been close to the
airport. If you go up and a little bit west, let me tell you something. There's, I don't think those are old growth, but they should, they're almost old. They're the most beautiful forest of, I think I've, and I've seen some really good looking forest. I mean, there's really, there's an amazing national forest in Arkansas. Anyway, I would like to go back in time and see old growth forest, but I don't know how to camp. So essentially I would go back in time and die of exposure because
absolutely.
I would
yellow yeah, fever.
Yeah. I immediately, I'd be like, where's the phone? How do I call somebody and have them pick me up? Cause I can't do this anyway. So alone. And did you ever see a Canadian, it's a Canadian reality show with one guy called Survivor. He schlepped his own cameras around too, but he put himself alone into different weird situations. A friend of mine who came here when she was a little girl from Mexico, well, teenager. And I was watching one with her, my friend Anna. And she goes, why is he eating scorpions? All of those cactus are edible. What is he doing? Why? Because scorpions are more compelling narrative.
And they have poison in them too.
Right. So it's better TV if you eat scorpions than if you just make a salad out of that that really flat cactus that's delicious.
Let me ask you this. I wonder will his life insurance cover that, because that might be considered too.
It really, really is. He was also curious. A folk musician, and it stopped because his wife was literally like, you come home dehydrated, sunburned, malnourished. This is not worth whatever HGTV or the Food Network is paying you. This is ridiculous. So that's why he stopped doing it.
I'm not going that far. I just feel like I would be well equipped. I do. And I do know edible flowers now. Yes, I got to be ready.
Yeah. You know that there is a very big society of mushroom people, edible mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
Oh, they're
not
the best.
Kind to get high on.
Me neither.
But I just had lion's mane yesterday. I'm addicted. I'm a vegan, so I'm addicted to lion's mane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought a couple pounds on sale. I actually got 2 pounds, and I made some steaks.
You made mushroom steaks out of, okay.
And
how do you prepare?
Some bulgur with some shrimp. So for my lion's mane. For the steak, what I did is, because I have one big piece, I cut it in half. Of course, you know, you rinse it, but you can't do too much because you can't absorb too much. But I use a coriander steak mix with pink sea salt, the coriander, the peppercorns, a little bit of cumin. Of course, got to have cumin. Let
coriander,
that sit
cumin.
For a minute. The onion, the garlic. Little bit of ginger, a little bit of paste, ginger paste,
okay,
with some vegan garlic butter that I had. Mm. I seared it on both sides, high heat, took it out, took the pan down, and then you have to put something on it to smash it on both ends.
Oh, like
and
a brick.
Yeah, like a brick. And then it just pulls apart. It looks very steaky. And sometimes I'll use some vegan Worcestershire sauce as well. Ooh. To give it that brownness and that ajou kind of flavor.
What does Worcestershire sauce have in it that makes it not vegan?
Sardine paste.
Oh, it's got some sort of fish thing. Do you know that there's an episode of The Dork Forest with Tig Notaro where she talks about how veganism saved her life? Because she had some health issues.
I have to listen.
Yeah. T-Bar, I have to tell you something. It's been an hour. You've done vital work so fast. That's the thing about the Dork Forest. You're talking about something you love, and then it's over. But everyone, Rangers of the Dork Forest, you should follow T-Barb on the Instagram at I am T-Barb. It's IAMTBARB. And the brand is only in Detroit, and it's about Detroit, you guys. And tbarbisfunny.com is her website, and she's a great comic. You should go see her do stand-up. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and check in when you're watching and learning. Think about me.
Exactly. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?